So our reading this morning is Psalm 46. At first glance, it might not be a traditional Advent psalm, but it fits with the whole theme of these next 4 weeks. And it goes like this. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So verse 10 is what we're looking at this morning, and that is, be still and know that I am God. Now, I've tried saying this sentence many times with different emphasis. I've tried saying, be still and know that I am God, with the emphasis on the be and this idea that somehow we just let it be. I've tried doing it with the emphasis on the still, be still and know that I am God, hoping that I'm going to find some calm there somewhere. I've tried it. This is my last one. Be still and know that I am God. This idea of how do you know that God is God? It's more than a feeling. It's more than an inspiration. How do you know it? If it doesn't matter how I say it, I find it hard to live it. And I find it hard to be still. I can't sit still. I can't sit still for very long because I will be fidgeting. I am the person for whom fidget spinners were invented. When I talk, you can see I like to move around and my arms describe all these weird shapes in the air. I am not a still person. And the word chill barely enters my dictionary. I'm the sort of person that if I wake up in the morning and I look at my diary and it's empty, I have this mild feeling of panic. I'm not the sort of person who wakes up and looks when the diary is empty, thinks, great, how is this day going to unwind? This looks like a day of peace. So I look around for stuff to do. And this happens on Wednesdays, which are meant to be my official day off. If I wake up on a Wednesday and I haven't got anything to do, I start to fill it with stuff. And sometimes that stuff is work. In fact, this talk was written on my day off, which might explain something. So I find it hard. Why? Is it because I get a sense of value out of filling my day with stuff? Do I look at sort of my life having meaning if I'm constantly on the go? Why am I afraid of being still? Why is it I struggle to live out Psalm 46, verse 10? This is the 500th anniversary, I think, of the Reformation. And I found this quote from Martin Luther, who I now envy even more. He once said that he was too busy to pray for less than 3 hours a day. Well, there you go. But I think I'm not alone. And sometimes the Advent season with all its candles and all its niceness and all its chocolate, sometimes the nature of Advent means it's hard to be still. It's meant to be a time of reflection and peace and preparing for Christmas, to remember Jesus who came to earth all those years ago. Instead, though, it's often a mad rush to meet deadlines. So many presents to buy, then you've got to remember to wrap them, unless you get Amazon to do it for you, which is kind of a good trick. So much to buy, so many cards to write, so much food to buy. This key thing of when do you buy the turkey? You need to buy this giant bird sort of early enough to know that you've got the turkeys that you really want to feed the millions who are coming around your house on Christmas Day, but not so early that it sits up taking space in your front room or your garage or wherever you keep it for too long. There's a lot of planning that goes into Advent, and the key planning is this. I've got a lovely spreadsheet for you here. So who is going to be in your house when? Now, since I did this on Wednesday, I've anonymized it apart from me and Carol. Thankfully, Carol and I are going to be in our house all through this time. The red is they're not here. The amber is we're not quite sure. The green is these people are definitely going to be in our house when? I think it might have changed even yesterday, so it's out of date. But these kind of family movements are important because they drive the shopping and they drive the menu, particularly if they've got special diets to cater for. It's a lovely spreadsheet. Some of these movements, actually, this is simple. Some of these movements over Christmas take place within hours. People arrive a few hours later than go. Some of them take place over days, but they all combine to make this one hectic movement. It's Christmas planning and who's coming where when is a kind of piece of tactical mastery. Normally, you would only see this sort of planning on manoeuvres in Salisbury Plain. It's a wonder, isn't it, then, that no wonder we find it hard to be still at Advent and find ourselves under stress. And when we're under stress, that's when the cracks start to happen. That's when the cracks start to show in our own life. Family tensions that we thought were once long hidden bubble to the surface and join new ones that are just forming. We even have conflict within ourselves as we try to be the peacemaker and remember to find God and know God in the midst of it all. Rob, could you turn it on to the next slide? Far from gathering around the crib to marvel at the birth of the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, Christmas Day is often the focal point when our stress, our tension, and our worries and our fears come to the surface. Now, there is some debate about when Psalm 46 was written. But however it was written, whenever it was written, it came out of a time of great adversity for God's people. Most scholars think it was written at the time when King Hezekiah of Judah was surrounded by the army of Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Next slide, please, Rob. By then, 46 towns and villages of Judah had been sacked. Over 200,000 people of 200,000 of God's people had been taken into captivity, and 185,000 troops surrounded Jerusalem at that time. It looked as if it was just a matter of time before that city was going to fall. If it wasn't that event that Psalm 46 was written out of, it was a similar event. And out of this adversity, out of this time when things must have seemed bleak, out of this time when it looked like Jerusalem, God's holy city, and the temple within it was going to fall, comes this psalm of confidence in God. The psalmist is able to say that God and only God is our refuge and strength in times of trouble, and so we should not fear. Now, I guess you and I probably have never been surrounded by an army of 185,000 people waiting to kind of storm our house. But I suspect that we've all been, or we all will be, beset by trouble of one sort at some time in our life. Maybe within ourselves, maybe within the church, maybe within our family, or our colleagues at work, or our neighbours. And maybe in those times we doubt and we wonder, first of all, when will this time end? God, when will this time of stress and churning and conflict and doubt, when the world seems to rage against us, when will it end? And how will it end? Because sometimes we can't see a way out of the position that we're in. And our mind becomes a whirlwind of emotions and thoughts. And sometimes we wonder, how are we going to survive this? And we wonder, God, where are you in this time in my life? And then suddenly, in the midst of this psalm, God's voice breaks through and says, be still and know that I am God. With 185,000 troops surrounding the city, with the end looking nigh, with 200,000 people already taken into captivity, God says, be still and know that I am God. The original Hebrew that we translate as be still can also be translated just in that simple word, enough. God says, enough of the striving, enough of the worries and doubts, enough of the conflict and warring, enough of the busyness and the trying to do it all, and enough of trying to solve it all ourselves. enough in doing things in our own strength. Be still and find me in the midst of it all. And when God says enough, or when God says be still, it reminds me of Jesus in the boat in the storm. In Mark 4, verse 39, you know, when Jesus just stood up and he spoke to the winds and he spoke to the waves and he said, quiet, be still. Enough, enough of this raging, enough of these storms around the lives of the people who I love, just enough. You see, only our Father God and his Son has the power to calm the storms that surround us, to be our quiet place in times of trouble, to be our refuge and to be our fortress no matter what's going on in our life, and to bring us to a position of rest in him. We just can't do it on our own, no matter how hard we try. We don't have the ability. Only God is the resource that we need. Whatever problems rage against us, God's Spirit is the ever-flowing river who sustains us and gives us life, even when we're under siege, just the same as the river that's referred to in verse 4 of the psalm that we read. You see, God set the pattern for his kingdom right back in creation. When he created us to enjoy that deep rest in him, his purpose for us is to live in harmony with him, to walk with him, to know his presence in our life every moment of every day. That's the pattern for the kingdom of God that he created in the Garden of Eden when he created Adam and Eve. And we know that Adam and Eve walked away from God. And since then, we find that rest difficult. Sadly, Advent and the run-up to Christmas Day can be one of those times when we struggle to find God and peace in our life. So let's all pray that this time, this year, we can be still, that we can find rest, that we will enjoy peace, and that amongst it all, we will know God. So one final thought. As we go through these 4 weeks of Advent, looking at what it means to be still and to know God, we'll come across the same words again and again. Words like be still, words like rest, words like trust, refuge, hope and peace. They kind of go around in a little gang of their own, because where you find one, you find the other. Where you find be still and rest, you find that you need to trust in God. So with that in mind, and it's a link between today and the next 3 weeks that are coming, I want to play a little video. This video is called Christmas Peace. So let's sit back and reflect.
So that the world may know peace is the whole reason for the Christmas story. I don't normally open with my punchline, but after this year, I think we can all agree peace has been hard enough to find. So I'm not looking to waste your time with clever wordplay or metaphors. I just know we need hope more than ever before. Because unlike ever before, you can literally read never-ending hurt on Facebook posts and in Twitter feeds. And almost every week, it seems we create another hashtag headstone, followed up by arguments with no regard to just how hard Christmas is gonna be for a family in that home on this year. So many protests welling up out of passionate fear, filling the streets over political people we will never meet. I see people placing their hope in promises that we all know won't keep, and still the news grows increasingly bleak with stories of tragedy after catastrophe. Rumors of economic shatterings, a drug epidemic no one's talking about, because we traded truth for substitutes and they ain't really working out. So I think if the world is to ever know peace, there couldn't be a better time than now. In this Christmas season where we can run back to that sacred account, it's been echoed for ages on end, a prophecy of a holy God to struggling sinful men that says in order for the world to know peace, a child must be born. And to us a son will be given. The prophecy then states the government will be his alone for the lifting. His names will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. As for the greatness of his government and peace within, they say there will be no end to it. Absolutely no finite measurement. Such a promise as this held all of creation in breathlessness for over 700 years without a single shred of evidence. But then on a midnight clear in Bethlehem, a star proclaimed God was finally with men. It was the first recorded Christmas held in a dirty, dirty stable where God incarnate laid as a baby in the manger. All of heaven sang of a savior and shepherds came with tears bigger than Cubs fans in November. The world's first time with Christ is why we celebrate every December, my friends. I'll say it again, that the world may know peace is the real reason for Christmas. This isn't a ploy to make you forget about pain and reality. It's just so you know my God's in the business of being peace to humanity. So down to earth he came, knowing full well he would have to be pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He took all of our punishment so we might be free, and by his wounds we might meet peace. I hope you're getting this. Peace isn't found in a feeling. Jesus Christ is peace. And I wrote this just so that you could meet him. Merry Christmas.
He's around and waves his arms around even more than I do. There's a good message in there. Can the team come back up, please? I know time is drifting away this morning, but it's one thing to talk about being still and knowing God and finding peace, but it's another thing to do it. So this morning, I didn't want us to just close and rush away and eat our Christmas in a roll. I wanted us just to spend a little bit of time. So Nick's going to lead us in a song. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to be aware of what God might be speaking into your life through his Spirit this morning. What is God telling you this morning? Are you in that place where you find it hard to be still and to find peace? So we're going to sing and worship one song, and then we'll be a bit still. I'm going to ask you to share what's on your heart. I'm going to ask you to share what God has for us this morning. Maybe it's a verse of scripture, maybe it's just a thought, maybe it's a prophetic word. But just be open to the moving of his Spirit. So let's stand, come before our loving Heavenly Father and the Prince of Peace.